You know, I don't have a lot of insecurity issues, or at least I'd like to think, because competition comes up, and I start comparing myself to other people. And when I meet, and because I think I'm so great and wonderful, when I meet somebody who's better than me, it doesn't feel great. Because I want to be the best. I want to be, you know, I want to be up there. And then I meet someone, and they're better than me, and they've made it more. And I just want to wring their necks, you know. And it's a challenge for me, you know. Well, it used to be more of a challenge than it is today. I'm still working out my salvation. But it came out of a need to be accepted at the end of the day. You know, when I went through high school, I experienced a lot of rejection. I came out of homeschool into grade 9. I had zero social skills. And you put in with a bunch of grade 9 kids who aren't always very nice. And you've got to sink or swim, you know. And I became not a very nice person. I got my whole class to dislike this other guy in my class just because he made me feel bad. You know, I was that guy. I said nasty things. I spread rumors about him. But it was just because, you know, I needed him to be less than me. I needed to be set apart. I needed to be better, you know. And even after I got saved, there was this need to be better. You know, when I first started with the worship team, which was back in 2011, I think, you know, and I came from a classical background, and you have to learn to play chords, and I did a lot of floundering around, and that was very humbling for me, because then you meet people who are a lot better, and when you go to Stellenbosch, or if the Shofar band came here, if you met them when they came last year, you're like, oh gosh, I think I should just give up the keyboard and leave the church maybe. You know, it's like, you understand that there's people that are better than you. They're skilled more than you. But are they? And because you have all these insecurities, you put your value in that. And you feel of less value. Okay? And that's sometimes how we feel about ourselves. But the reverse is opposite as well. When someone doesn't measure up to your standards, you don't value them as much. You know what I mean? They're not like you, they're different. And I'm going to get to that just now. Somebody's different, we don't like them. There's a need for us to be set apart. We want to belong. Once again, my father told me about this dilemma. He called it the high school dilemma. We need to fit in, but once we fit in, we need to look different within that group. We want to be, you know, we want to be in, but we want to be different. You know, and it's this conflict. There's this constant pull and push, and it just creates complete turmoil within a person. There's no peace in that, right? Okay. Number 2. Other people are more important than you. Yes, we know this. We know this. We've heard this. We believe it, or at least we'd like to think so. Philippians 2 verse 3, can somebody turn to there? Philippians is in the New Testament. Lisa. Is anybody there? Jama, thank you.
It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
Do nothing in vain ambition. Do nothing in vain ambition. But in everything consider other people better than yourselves. That's a tough pill to swallow. Why do we think that people that are different are not important? We think that different is wrong. And I experienced this when I first joined church. Apart from one person, I have only Afrikaans friends. before I moved to George. Mark and Craig make up for that. But before I came to George, I had, besides one English guy, I only had Afrikaans friends. And when I first joined the church, once again, these insecurities come up because I don't look like an Afrikaans boykie from the plas, you know. And there was a need, there's once again a need to fit in. I don't dress like them. I don't talk like them. You know, they're all wearing their fullies and their long shorts, and they look fantastic in their rolled up shirts. And, you know, and I was a beach bum. I liked my short pants and my t-shirts and my slops. And my wife still fights with me about that sometimes. But that was who I am, and I had to learn to come to terms with that. You know, that I'm not a jock. I'm a beach bum, and I like the beach, and I like the sea, and I like surfing before I came to George. Now I'm too lazy. No, I don't have a surfboard yet. I've got a 9-footer in Cape Town. My friends used to call it the super tanker because it's huge. But it was a fantastic piece of apparatus. It's another one for you. We're talking about big words there. Anyway, but you know, I have to come to terms with who I am. Do you know what I mean? And there's this thing that I go to someone, and because they're different, because they don't talk the way I am, because they're from somewhere else, they're not as good as me. You know what I mean? Or it's switched around. You know, I'm not like them, so I'm not as good as them. This is where generous friendship comes in. Because generosity fills in those gaps. Okay? In your mind, it's like this. And when you apply generosity, everything is leveled out. It takes a bit of pursuing somebody out of your culture. Okay? Which is very relevant to students. On campus, there's black people, there's white people, there's colored people. You know, it takes a lot to pursue somebody outside of your culture, to pursue friendship outside of your culture, right? It takes a lot to pursue friendship with somebody who's not in close proximity with you, who's not in your face the whole day. One thing that we always experienced as a church in Stellenbosch was that when students left Res, they lost all their friends and they floundered on the floor, because when they were in Res, everything was so easy. Their friends were right there. You know, the person was right down the corridor, and they, after class, they could go knock on their door and say, hello, how's it going? And then after Res, they'd move into a private sector, and they have to now get in their car or get on their bicycle and trek halfway through town to go see their friend, and they're not used to that. And they're not used to making an effort with friends. And so they'd get out of Res, and they'd think the world has fallen apart, because they don't know how to pursue friends. They don't know how to pursue somebody who's not in their space. Or they don't know how to pursue friends with people that aren't like them, that aren't in the same Res, they don't think the same, they aren't brought in the same culture, they didn't go through initiation together, they don't know how to do it. You know, they don't have those social skills. And then they usually ended up at my small group, because I was in the private sector, so I lived in a house, I didn't live in Res. And they would end up in my small group, and then I have to teach them how to be friends, you know. it's funny, you know. Some of them I had to go and teach how to do groceries and, you know, do their own laundry. They didn't know, you know. And it's funny. But, like, we meet people like that, and we just think, sorry, you know, I've got my friends back at the house. I'll see you later, you know. I don't need you. I've got my friends. You know what I mean? Or they don't think like you, you know. The one person likes to go to the beach and the other one likes to go mountain climbing. And, you know, there's no room for friendship there. Where do we meet? How do we pursue this? And what I discovered is, because I'm an Englishman and I like to go to the beach and I don't like to wear khaki pants and fellies all the time, and college shirts, you know, that the friends that I had to pursue them, you know. I had to make them understand, hey, I'm a cool person. You know, I'm legit. I promise you. But I had to pursue them. I had to run after them sometimes. Number three. Just following on from Hebrews 12, verse 14. Can somebody open their Bible there? For me. If you've got it, stick up your hand, please. Thank you, Greg. Greg's getting married in January.
Make every effort to live in peace with all men, and to be holy without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
Make an effort, every effort, to live in peace with all men. Make every effort. I like that. To make every effort, to make use of every opportunity. Every moment and opportunity and circumstance that comes your way, make every effort with the people around you to pursue peace. Because without holiness, you will not see the kingdom of God. I love that there's that connection. That there's this connection with pursuing friendship, pursuing peace with people. Other translations say friendship. Pursuing friendship with people is directly linked to this idea of holiness. Why is that? Because in their days, it was a foreign concept to make effort with people. I mean, to us, it seems logical. It seems normal. You know, we don't do it, but it seems normal. It's a, you know, to make an effort with people was a foreign concept to them. And this is why Jesus said, you're going to be set apart. This is why people are going to know you for the love that you have for each other. Because it wasn't normal. You stick in your family. You marry within your family. They married their cousins and your mother or your father would go to his uncle and say, hey, your daughter's single. Why didn't you marry my son? And that was how it was done. And you stayed in your family and you worked with your family. There was no going outside of your family. The family stuck together. Every family was for themselves. But yeah, Jesus was saying, pursue everybody. Take every effort. Take every opportunity to make an effort with other people. And people are going to see this and they're going to know, I want this. I want people to care about where I am. At 12 in the evening, if I haven't come home. I want people to think, hey, how's Mark doing? Is he okay? You know? I want people to wake up and think, sure, Lisa, I hope she's okay. Maybe I should give her a phone call and say, Lisa, are you ready for exams? You know? No, she said no. I know that now. But I took the effort just to ask. You know? But we want... That's what we want for ourselves, right? We're waiting for people to do that for us. Yeah? I had a friend come to me this last weekend from Stellenbosch. We were going to the conference together, and he said to me, sure, Luke, you know, he recently got into a relationship himself, and he said, sure, Luke, now that I'm in a relationship, I can really see how much time and effort you put into your friendship with me. And I told him that, you know, both Monica and I, we were both, you know, the first person each other dated. So we were, you know, we were never in a relationship before each other. But we were always part of friends. When they got into relationships, you know, we fell by the wayside. They got a boyfriend, they got a girlfriend, and all of a sudden they don't have time for us. And we decided, Monica and I made a decision right from the beginning, that when we got into a relationship, first off, we would pursue, actively pursue the friendships outside of a relationship. And And second off, we would remain accountable to the friends outside of our relationship. And we kept each other accountable. I'd say, hey, Monica, have you seen so-and-so-and-so? And she would say, hey, when you met with whatchamacallit, what did he say? What was he talking about? Did you talk to him about this issue that you had? You know, to the point that when we got married, Monica had 10 bridesmaids and I had 10 groomsmen because we couldn't narrow them down. They were really good friends. Not only that, but my parents had always had an issue with me going to shofar because, you know, they're a bit more traditional, and this was a bit, you know, the charismaniacs and their craziness. They didn't really reconcile it. But on our wedding day, the effort that our friends put into us, it has completely transformed the idea that my parents have of our church, just because of my friends, because of how they served Monica and I, Monica's friends and my friends, how they served us on our wedding day, because we had sown into those relationships and we made effort to pour ourselves into those relationships. And I go to Stellenbosch probably a good once every month, every 2 months. And every time I go down, I make sure that I see at least 2 or 3 friends of mine. And the guy that I saw on the weekend, he says, Luke, you live in George and you make more effort to see me than some of my friends living in Stellenbosch. You know? And that was the kind of friend that I had at my wedding day, who served me so much on my wedding day that it was a testimony to my parents about our church. Is that the kind of friends that you guys want? Yeah? That just by you serving them, my parents saw and they knew us. They knew my church for the love me and my friends had for each other, for the love Monica and her friends had for each other. My parents saw it and they knew us. They knew who we were for the love we had for each other. It was church 101. You can't get more than that. My parents had nothing to say after that. All arguments were finished after that. But we sowed into these relationships. We made an effort. The amount of times Monica came crying to me because of these friends that didn't, you know, that gave her the back end, I'd say, Monica, you pursue friendship. Monica, you put them first. And the amount of friends that I had that I wanted to strangle, you know. And Monica had to say to me, Luke, you pursue friendship. You know, Luke, you know, to the point. And we pursued it to the point where we had these amazing people serving us on our wedding day. And Monica always says that, you know, they are our inheritance in a sense. They are our testimony. Our friends are our testimony. So we need generous friendships. We need the kind of friendships that's going to take a lot from you, that you might not see reward, okay? Because if we want to reach anything on campus, if we want to do anything on campus, if we want to do anything on this town, it starts here. And you guys have to make a decision to pursue friendship with one another. Otherwise, I must pack my bags and go back to Stellenbosch. I can preach as many sermons as I like, and Armu can try as much as he likes, but if you guys don't make a decision to pursue friendship with one another, to love one another, to actively love a new people that come into church, to actively pursue friendship with them, we can't do anything. Okay. And today's sermon is very simple, and the altar call is a very simple one. And that is, I'm going to ask you to stand if you would like to make a decision to pursue generous friendship. And if that is you, I want you to stand tonight. And I'm gonna get to other things right now, but first I just wanna address this. Before I get onto anything, what can you get out of it, or you know, the rejection that you felt, and I want to address that just now. I'm not going to leave that alone. But before we get there needs to make a decision that whatever I get out of this, whatever I don't get out of it, I make a decision here to pursue people, actively pursue people, make every effort with them to pursue peace and friendship. Because I understand that without the holiness of God, without this set-apart attitude, without this thing that people see as so distinct, the love for one another, that thing that sets us apart, without this holiness, we will not see God. You get what I'm saying to you? Without this thing, without this holiness, without this thing that makes us distinct, without this thing that sets us apart, we will not see the face of God. That is the reality. That is about as scary as it gets. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And I want you to pray after me. Kathy, maybe if you can just come up and play some guitar for us. Dear Father God, today I make a decision to pursue generous friendship. Father, I want you to teach me to be a friend to the friendless, a friend to the helpless, a friend to the uncool. Lord Father, I pray that you'll help me accept me as a good friend, as one who is worthy of giving good friendship. I thank you, Father, that I do not have to compete. I do not have to try to be better. I know that I am accepted by you. And with this knowledge, I pursue friendship with other people, knowing that I can give them the same grace to be accepted by you fully and wholly. Amen. And then there's a second bunch of people that I want to talk to tonight. Because I don't want to make small of this either. There's people that have experienced real rejection. Maybe you just came out of school and you were thinking, yes, if I can just get out of school and leave. Maybe you were thinking, if I could just get out of school and leave my home, leave my parents. Maybe you're in varsity or in the workplace and you're thinking, yes, if I could just get one friend. I know I could maybe be happy if I just had one friend, one person who would just understand. Does anybody care that I'm here or not? If that is you, if you're a person that has experienced rejection, I just want you to come out front over here. And the reason I don't want to deliberately set you apart, but the reason why I want you to come here is just so that we as a family can just come and embrace you. So if that's you tonight, I just want you to come up front here. I know it's a difficult thing. We don't want, because sometimes we don't want to look like we don't have friends. We want to look like we're okay. But just where you are, without thinking about it, just come up front here. Let us accept you. Let us welcome you.
I feel there's somebody that you're probably 16 years old 17 years old and you had a good friend, and then you lost that friend due to a relationship issue with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but it was a romantic relationship issue, and God's saying that He wants to heal that hurt. The experience, the feeling that your friendship wasn't worth anything and this girl or boy is running away with his boyfriend or girlfriend. I just feel that there's a romantic relationship that destroyed a friendship, and God wants to heal that. Is there anyone like that? Okay. Is there an answer? I want you to make an opportunity of this, of just the grace of God that's right here in front. He wants to, it's not about just getting free from hurt, but it's actually positioning yourself for one of the greatest, most amazing things on this planet, and that is great friendship with human beings. With God, yes, but with human beings. People to be loved and to be known. To be loved and to be known. All of us want that. So if that's you, just respond. I just feel there's a grace, a window of opportunity for you to receive that and to actually get an impartation to be that good friend. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So in a moment, I'm just going to have you turn two or three in a group. And I just want you to talk about where you're at with friends. And I know this is going to be a difficult part. This is going to be a part where you don't want to share because you don't want to look bad. You don't want to look like you don't have friends. But sometimes we need a bit of boldness. We just need to say, hey, you know, I need someone. You know, I would like, maybe I want someone to talk to, okay? So I just want you to turn two or three in a group, and I just want you to talk about where you're at. And when you're done, you can go. Thank you for coming. And just take the challenge. Stop waiting for people to ask you out for coffee. Ask somebody out for coffee. Stop waiting for people to pursue you for friendship. You pursue somebody else for friendship, okay? So whatever you put in now is what you're going to get out. So if you don't feel like sharing, it's okay. But just talk about where you're at with friends. Do you need someone? You can also just, when you're done sharing, just pray amongst yourselves, and then you can go. There's also some people here. You've got to go make right with some friends today. You know who I'm talking about. You need to go say sorry, and you need to go make right with some people. And that must happen today. Don't let the sun set on your anger, as Scripture says. Okay. I love you. Be blessed. There's tea and coffee and Tinkies at the back over there. Go crazy.